more of you in my life. And we serve a God who wants to give it to us. Come on, God, is a cry for us to say, you know what, we're not just satisfied with salvation in Jesus Christ, but we want to experience the full experience of God. We want the fullness of God's power and expression in our life. Now, God is not yet to reveal himself. God is fully revealed. But for a lot of us, we just live through life with our eyes closed to it, or our hearts closed to it. So we're not open for a fresh revelation of God. God is fully revealed. We just need to open our hearts and pray for God to bring a renewal and a revival into our hearts and into our land. And so, come on, God, is a cry for us to say, again, I want more love. I want more of your presence. I want more of your power. I believe in your signs and your wonders and your miracles, and I want more of those in my life. I want to understand more of the gifts that you've given me. I want more healing in my life and in my family. I want more of your holiness in my life. I want you to take on more of my sin problem, because we live in a broken and sin-filled world. A lot of us, we're desperate for more. We're desperate for more of something. And usually we think that's found in purchases and packages and presents and finances and more stuff and more money. But what if our cry was, I want more of God. I want more of you in my life. Where God, I desire more of you. Now here's the good news. We have a God who desires to give more of himself to you. It's amazing. Listen, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, I want us to read this verse together. This is our theme scripture for this sermon series. Can we get that up on the screen? All right, you guys ready? We're going to read this together. 1, 2, 3. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. How cool is that? Who wants to be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God? I do. All right, we got 25 people here this morning that do. That's awesome. I know we all do. That's why we're here. We come hungry. We come with the desire for more of God. God, fill me. God, do a new work in me. Now, this verse of scripture reminds me to be filled with all the full measure of the fullness of God. How many fills and fulls are in that scripture? There's about two or three of them. It reminds me of my son, Austin, and something I used to do when I was a kid, and sometimes I still do. I love a bowl of cereal sometimes at night. It's one of the perfect snacks. And so I would watch Austin. He gets the biggest bowl possible, and he fills this cereal till like it's almost like over the top. It's just like a crown of cereal there at the top. And I just don't even bother to tell him, because as soon as you put milk in that thing, you know what's going to happen. As you add milk to that cereal, the cereal itself is drier than the milk and is lighter than the milk, and the milk will cause that cereal to rise. And if the cereal is already to the top, what's going to happen to that cereal? It's just going to flow all over the place. Now, it's funny because I watch Austin. He doesn't even mind. He just picks up the cereal off the counter and just starts eating it, and he just keeps pouring milk, and more cereal flows out of that thing. And it's just this full experience. Now, I want you to keep that picture in your mind, and I want to talk to you about something. Because so many of us are so full of trials and challenges in our life. You know, the car constantly needs to be repaired. The bills are always due, and we don't know if we're going to be able to meet them. We have a hurting relationship that just continues to break us. Or every time we turn around, we have a new hurting relationship with somebody at work or wherever it might be. We have ongoing health issues. We're just full of trials. And sometimes it gets to the point where we get overwhelmed and we say, I have had it. I've had it up to here with life. Anybody ever say that? I've just had it up to here. I can't take anymore. And what happens is that bowl of your life starts to overflow the edges as you kind of start to fall to pieces sometimes emotionally or even spiritually. And so what happens is as we fall all over people around us and we flow out into people around us, we blow up on people, we have visibly frayed edges, we live with a constant state of sorrow and depression or disappointment or just negativity, and it just kind of falls off of us onto everybody else around us like that overflowing bowl of cereal. But what if we believe the opposite of that? What if we believe that God desires to so fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit that it's no longer I've had it up to here with life, but it's I'm so full up to here with God, I don't even know what to do with myself. I don't even know what to do with myself. And we have so much of God in us, the Holy Spirit has filled us so much that it starts to overflow our edges and it starts to bless and it starts to empower and it starts to flow out into everybody else's life around us, into everything we do and everything we experience. What if our life was like that kind of bowl of cereal, where we overflow with joy, we overflow with peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit, and it overflowed into everybody around us? Because I think a lot of us, we've been in that moment with that first bowl of cereal where where our brokenness and frayed edges just falls all over people when we're around them. God has something better for us. God wants to do so much more than save you. He wants to fill you. Now, God came to save you in Jesus Christ, and we're going to celebrate that in a month during Advent and the birth of a Savior. But there's so much more to God's plan, and I think a lot of us haven't gotten there. God wants to save you so he can fill you. He wants you to overflow with the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants you to have the full experience, the full-on experience. And so as God gave you Jesus Christ to save you, he gave the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you with more of him. And in the local church, especially in United Methodism, and we're a part of that denomination here in United Methodist Church, it's so much easier to talk about Jesus. It feels so much more tangible. We understand that he was born of a virgin. We understand that he was the incarnation, which he's fully God and fully human at the same time. We understand that he was tortured and died on the cross and was raised from the dead on the third day. I think for a lot of us, that's so much more tangible. And when it gets to talking about the Holy Spirit, a lot of times it feels mystical. It feels a little weird. It feels uncomfortable. And so what happens is we kind of ignore that conversation and we become a Jesus church, which there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to be a both and. We need to be a Jesus and Holy Spirit church. Now, it's not three separate people. It's one God, yet three distinctive parts that we experience, three distinctive expressions of God in our life, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So as a church, in this month, we want to be reminded that we are a Jesus church and a Holy Spirit-filled church. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. In John chapter 14, if you're paying attention to your notes there, get those things out of your bulletin. If you want to take a look at them, the notes will be up on your screen. And you can get on your YouVersion app on your smartphone. You can follow along in the notes there. And welcome to those of you watching around the world. And praise be to God. In John chapter 14, the Bible says this. This is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. It's the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him, watch this now, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. What does Jesus acknowledge here? Jesus acknowledges our challenge and our struggle to see and experience the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things he suggests to us or tells us is that the Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not just a distant deity, but it's God's Holy Ghost. It's God's Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit and the living God. It's the power of God for you and me to experience personally. And Jesus is saying, he's literally saying, it's not just about me. I want you to desire more of God in the form of this advocate for you. Jesus' own words is saying, there is more power for you to have beyond salvation. I'm here to save you, and the Holy Spirit is coming to sanctify you. I want you to experience his full power, and I want you to make sure that his power can be fully known. So the question is, what would keep us from wanting more of the Spirit of God in us? What keeps us from wanting more of God, more love, more power, more of you, God, in our life? Let's go back to the first day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, when the Holy Spirit came. It says that the disciples, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible goes on to say that they were speaking in strange languages that everyone understood. The Bible talked about the idea that healings were happening. People were getting healed. People were finding Jesus Christ. Salvation was happening. I mean, the winds of God and the power of God were blowing through that place. The room was full of the Spirit of God. A powerful wind came and, well, maybe literally blew the doors off of the room and probably blew the doors off of their own hearts as God entered in a new way. There was prophecy being told. Futures were being called forth and fulfilled with the power. There was a new passion, a new fire. There were signs and wonders all around them, and they were so full of God. What an awesome expression and experience of God that God has brought to us in this moment. I want to be filled with that. I want that too. It's not just for the 12 disciples from 2,000 years ago. It's available for you and me. I want that in my life. How about you? So why don't more Christ followers live in the power of the Holy Spirit? That's a good question for us to ask. If it's fully available, why don't more of us live in the full power of the Holy Spirit in our life? Is it possible because when we are in Christ, many of us still feel weak? When we're in Christ, many of us still feel powerless against the enemy and sin. that works its way from within? Is it possible that even though we're in Christ, we still live with fear of an unknown future and we feel powerless? Is it possible that even though we're in Christ, we feel that, well, God wants to maybe use me, but he certainly can't use me to make a difference in somebody's life, and so we live powerless thinking God can't do anything with this wretched soul? We might be saved, but we have not yet fully experienced the power of God through the Holy Spirit in our life. And Jesus is saying it's hard. It's challenging because the Holy Spirit is misunderstood and because of a general lack of knowledge of the work of the Holy Spirit. So here's my prayer for us today. My prayer is that if we would better understand the nature of the Holy Spirit, maybe God would grow, or we would, in our own rights, be more desperate to be filled by him. It's a desperation, it's a hunger, it's a thirst, it's a desire. God is waiting for us to cry out to him, saying, come on, God. Come on, God is a prayer of desire. It's a prayer of hunger. And is it possible today, if we understand a little bit more the nature of the Holy Spirit, that we might hear a little bit of a bigger cry in our souls to say, come on, God, I want more of that in my life. So I want to walk with you the rest of the message today. We have five characteristics and natures of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just going to shoot off right here with the first one. Number one. The first nature of the Holy Spirit I want to talk to you about is that he's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's a promised gift by God to you and me, given to us as an advocate to help us to be with us. And so like Christ was given to us to die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, a gift has to be accepted. It has to be appreciated. It has to be received. And we know that God wouldn't have messed around in sending his son Jesus Christ to go through all that torture and all that hellish experience on earth only to be murdered at the hands of humanity, the very people that God loves and sent his son for, to be crucified on a cross and raised from the dead. God would not have messed around with himself to go through all that if you and I didn't need it. And he did that because we needed it. And so what Jesus is saying is, listen, I'm not messing around here. I'm not just telling you, hey, the Holy Spirit is just here in case you want him or need him. No, he's saying, listen, I've purposed you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And so like the personal encounter with Jesus, we also too need to pray and believe that God wants to bring a personal encounter of his Spirit into our lives because it's a gift. It's a gift because we serve a generous God. God is a generous giver of all good things. And his great love for you has manifested into a desire for you to have more of him, more love, more power, more of his presence in your life through his Spirit. In Romans 5:5, I love this verse. The Bible says, God's love has been poured out, just like a milk into a cereal bowl. God's love has been poured out into our hearts. How? How has God's love been poured out into our hearts? Does it say through Jesus? Does it say through purchases and packages and presents? No, it says through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's love. The Holy Spirit is God's manifest presence of his love for you, who has been, what, given to us. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And the Holy Spirit is an expression and an embodiment of the fullness of God's love as a gift given to you and me in a very personal way. And like Jesus, gift is, receiving Christ into our life, a gift is not a gift until you desire it and receive it. And so why would we want to leave the gift of the Holy Spirit on the table unopened? And yet many of us do that. Yeah, many of us have salvation in Christ, but many of us have not received the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, the Holy Spirit is promised to come when we say yes to Jesus. When Jesus enters into our life, the Holy Spirit comes, but many of us have not lit the fire. Many of us have not struck the match and said, okay, I'm ready to live passionately for the rest of my life with you in the Spirit of God. And so we live in sin. We have Jesus, but we live in fear. We have Jesus, but we live powerless lives. And so maybe Jesus is the cereal, and is it possible that the Holy Spirit is the milk that wants to flow into our dry lives? Because cereal's awful dry without that milk, but it's there. There's sustenance there, but possibly is the Holy Spirit that milk that when it's poured, it just starts to have everything overflow the edges out into all that we do, that our love for God pours out into the people that we're around. Our love of God grows in us so much that it just overflows the edges, and we bless everybody in our life. Everybody experiences the joy of God in us because we're so full of the Holy Spirit. You know, you receive, how do you receive? You receive by asking. Come on, God, I want more of you in my life. Come on, God, is just a simple prayer. It's a simple cry to worship. Come on, God. So first of all, he's a gift. And secondly, the Holy Spirit is an advocate, a reminder to us that God is not against us, but that God desires to give us his best. God desires to give us all of him. And the Holy Spirit is there to grow the divine connection that God wants to have with us and actually pleads for us in our relationship with God. In Romans, the Bible says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. The Holy Spirit of God living in us is a booster for God's voice in our hearts, an advocate to where oftentimes we don't even know what to pray. But we don't need to worry about that, because the very Spirit of God lives inside of us. That makes his power all the more clear. The Holy Spirit brings a strength to our personal relationship with God. It boosts the signal of God in our hearts, and it powers God's voice in us to hear more from God and to have a better and growing divine connection with God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there because God is for you. The Holy Spirit is there because God wants to bless you. The Holy Spirit is given to you as an advocate because God wants to be closer to you and wants you closer to him. And so he's given you this Holy Spirit, this power of himself that lives in you as an advocate for you, that helps you with your prayers, that helps you through your struggles, that helps you with life, that brings us to the third nature, that counsels you, that speaks into you, because he's an advocate for you. So third, he is a counselor. You know, when we need advice or direction, what do? We seek other people for counsel. And we get wisdom, you know, we do it through social media, Facebook, phone call, email. Sometimes we'll go have coffee with somebody just to get some wisdom and clarity and peace of mind from time to time. Now imagine if you had access to the most powerfully wise, real-world applicable counselor living inside of you that was not limited by human frailty. That was not limited by human frailty, but that lived in you and whose guidance is otherworldly. Whose guidance is otherworldly. These aren't just human thoughts of where you should go in your life. This is a direct connection and encounter with the power of God, a voice speaking into your life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit in us can be, well, God's supernatural GPS system, global positioning system of giving us direction and the power that we need for every step of the journey in life. God, where am I to go? What am I to do? How am I supposed to handle this? God, I need you. I need more guidance and direction. I need more of you in my life. And so the Holy Spirit can become this conscious right or wrong inside of us, a part of our moral compass, our consciousness. And it's God's voice speaking into us to go to battle against all of the other voices in this life. The voices of the world, the voices of our culture, the voice of the enemy and Satan, the draw of our human bent towards sin, and even our own voice, by the way, because Satan doesn't often come right at us. He cloaks himself in our own voice to get us to convince ourselves of things that just aren't true. You know, Satan's the father of lies, and the Holy Spirit has come as an advocate, as a helper, to cut through those voices, to cut through the lies, and to give you a direct connection to the counsel of God that you don't need to pick up the phone for, but that lives right inside of your heart. The Holy Spirit speaks into us to navigate us to God's best, because he's our counselor, our wonderful counselor. Number four, in the nature of the Holy Spirit, he is a supernatural garbage man. The Holy Spirit is a supernatural garbage man. Now, God saved us from our sin in Jesus Christ, but he was not satisfied leaving us in our sin, even though he gave us Jesus Christ. So he sends us the power of the Holy Spirit to constantly take out the trash and the sin in our life on a daily basis once we've experienced salvation, and to give us more of his holiness. In 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, Paul writes these words, "Do not quench the Spirit. Hold on to what is good, hold on to the holiness of God, and reject every kind of evil. Cast off the sin in you and give it to God. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." Your whole life, every part of your life, may he sanctify you, may he cleanse you, may he continue to bring out the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, may you continue to take on the holiness of God for your entire life, through and through. How? God himself in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus came to save you from your sin, and the Holy Spirit came to sanctify you of a life of sin for the rest of your life. That sin would have the power to, that sin no longer has the power in your life, the grip in your life. You're no longer under the pull of sin. The Bible tells us through his word, it says, cling to what is good and allow God and the Holy Spirit to take out the trash of the sin and the evil in us through every moment of our life. You see, salvation in Jesus Christ is just the beginning of a new relationship with God. It's not the end all and be all. You see, we have salvation in Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes to live in us so that while we're here on earth, we can live like heaven. While we're here on earth, oh, Holy Spirit, come and cleanse me. Make me right. Make me holiness. Bring the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, into me every single day. Yeah, I mean, I love trash day. I don't know about you, but I just love taking all the garbage and the junk in our life, putting it in a can, taking it out to the edge of the street, and to know somebody's going to come along that day and haul all that away. And when you come home from work that day and you see that empty can, there's just something just satisfying about that. How crazy. I mean, am I the only one? I mean, what a blessing that is to know that all that junk and crud and stuff that no longer fits in our household is not there anymore. Now, here's the amazing thing. I know that it's going to get filled up again, but I know that in a week, the garbage man will be there again, and he's going to haul it off. Did you know that the sanctification process in your life is the peace of God, of knowing that even though your life is going to experience sin again this day, that every day, every moment of your life, the Holy Spirit is there and ready to haul away your sin, to take your sin, and to, by the way, not just replace it with an empty can, but to replace it with all of the fullness of the power of the holiness of God, the glory of God in your life. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, every day is garbage day. Every day is garbage day, moment by moment, removing the trash of sin from our life and giving us more room in our life to be filled with all of the fullness of God's glory and his holiness. Number five, the nature of the Holy Spirit is that he's a fire starter. He is a fire starter. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, it's amazing to me because almost every time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned to us in Scripture, it's always associated with fire. On that day of Pentecost, it talked about tongues of fire. When God approached Moses, he did it through a burning bush. Fire is always involved when you experience the Holy Spirit. And here and now, when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist, he's here saying that God has something more in store for you. And the Holy Spirit is associated with a fire. This is what God wants for you to be on fire for him. He wants to fill you full of a spiritual passion in your hearts where God totally consumes every part of your life that allows your life to also light a spark in other people's lives as God overflows the Spirit in your life, that you light a spark in other people's lives. John the Baptist is saying, there is more coming. Jesus is bringing this power of this Holy Spirit fire for you and for me. Now, I don't know if you're like me, guys out there, but when it comes to a fire and a campfire and lighting a fire and flame, I mean, you know, guys, there's just something about a flickering flame and having a lighter in our hands and lighting something on fire. And even such a kid, we've been mesmerized with fire. I love playing with fire when it comes to Safeways around a campfire. Put the stick in there and then walk around with the stick and it glows and you can write your name in the air. I mean, all, you know, fireworks, and there's just something about a fire that's just, it's so attractive, and it captures our hearts and our minds and our imagination. And so maybe we invite the Holy Spirit of God to light such a fire in us that we desire for more of God, allowing the Holy Spirit fire to fall on us. Oh, Holy Spirit fire, come and fall on us and burn within us. John Wesley experienced that at Altar's Gate. Remember the Altar's Gate experience? John Wesley, one of the founding church fathers of United Methodism, he went to America and desired to reach the Native Americans for Jesus Christ, and he just profoundly flopped. Nothing worked out. And on his way home, he had an encounter with God on a Moravian ship in the middle of the storm. He was tucked away in the corner, just scared to death for his life. And yet the Moravians were on deck in the middle of that storm, praising God and singing just hymns to God and thanking him for all of his glory. And so soon after that, he gets back to England and he finds himself at Altar's Gate. And that's where he says, my heart was strangely cooled off. He says, my heart was strangely warmed. Again, the power of the Holy Spirit is always associated with a flame, always associated with a fire that burns inside of our hearts. It burned for Wesley that day. And it continues to burn for United Methodism ever since that day, because our symbol for our church isn't just a cross. It's a cross and a flame. It's a cross and a flame, because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and God's desire to burn in us and to fully consume our entire life. Who doesn't want more of that? God, fill me with more of your glory. Lord God, I want to burn with more of a desire to see others come to Jesus Christ. I want to burn with a desire to use my spiritual gifts for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, on this earth to bless other people. Lord God, I want to burn with a peace that in the middle of the storm, I can still have joy. God, I want to be so filled with all the fullness of you in my life that I burn with the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't want more of that? Come on, God, I want more of you in my life. When was the last time your heart burned with passion for God? When was the last time your heart burned with passion for God? Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to set us on fire. Let's pray for a Holy Spirit awakening in our church to set our church and our families and our lives and our communities on fire for God in our world. I want more of you, God. Come on, God. Fill me with more of the power of your Holy Spirit. I want you to be that gift in my life. I want you to be that advocate. I want you to be that counselor. I want you to be that spiritual garbage man and that flamethrower. You know, going on and on, the Holy Spirit is a healer and a comforter and more and more. Who doesn't want all that in their life? It's available to you and me. Let's not live powerless in Christ. Let's live empowered in Christ by the fires of the Holy Spirit. Action steps and we're done. Number one, beg God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Beg him, Lord God, would you fill me with more of you? I want more of you. It's about prayer. Pray to God during this sermon series. Lord God, would you fill me? And watch what God does. Number two, read God's word on the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, get on Google and type in Holy Spirit and scripture-related Holy Spirit encounters and just read about the Holy Spirit during this month. And number three, shout daily, come on, God. Start every day. Come on, God. Do a new work in my life. Come on, God, my life is available to you. Come on, God, do a fresh thing. Blow open the doors of my life and watch what God does. We serve a good and amazing God. Amen. I want to invite you to a time of prayer. This is our garden of prayer. And if you have prayer requests or concerns, joys or concerns, there are prayer cards in the seat backs in front of you. And you can fill those out and bring them forward and put them in the baskets at the altar at either side of me. Or you can just stay where you are. You can remain here and pray if you'd like to. And I just want to share this moment with you. Having access to those prayer cards, that's an important thing, right? That those prayer cards are sitting right in front of you in those seats. Well, guess what? There's a ministry group that puts those there. And we're in need of adding people to that ministry. You know, would you pray about being a part of that vital ministry of giving people an opportunity to be prayed over and to be prayed for? And so we want to just spend this time quietly reflecting. God, speak into our hearts. Come on, God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Do a new work. Let's pray together.
Come on, God.